Sit. My fellow South Africans, 2 weeks ago I announced a set of additional measures to contain the spread of the virus. In deciding to introduce these additional measures, Cabinet followed scientific advice provided by our Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID-19. It also followed the deliberations of the National Coronavirus Command Council. These measures were urgent and they were absolutely necessary to contain the third wave, which is being fueled by the new Delta variant. It remains our priority to break the chain of transmission by limiting social contact. For the last 2 weeks, the country has been on adjusted alert level 4. This was indicative of a high risk of transmission. When I last addressed you, I indicated that we would assess the situation after 14 days and determine what adjustments may be required. As things stand now, infections remain extremely high. With the fast-spreading Delta variant, we are experiencing a third wave that is more severe than the first and the second waves. For the last 2 weeks, the country has consistently recorded an average of nearly 20,000 daily new cases. At present, the country has over 200,000 active COVID cases. In the last 2 weeks, over 4,200 South Africans have lost their lives to COVID-19. And this continues to affect many of us in our families, with our colleagues at work passing away, and our friends. While Gauteng accounts for more than half of new infections are rapidly increasing in the Western Cape, in Limpopo, Northwest, KwaZulu-Natal, and in Mpumalanga. Our health system countrywide remains under pressure. By next week, daily hospital admissions across the country are likely to reach the levels observed during the peak of the first two waves. COVID-19 related deaths in hospitals are also increasing and have surpassed those observed at the peak of the first wave. Consequently, Cabinet, after consultation with our provinces, has decided to maintain the country at adjusted alert level 4 for another 14 days. This means that from now until the 25th of July, the following measures will remain in place. All social, political, religious, and other gatherings remain prohibited. A curfew remains in place from 9 p.m. until 4 a.m. and only those with permission to do so may leave their homes during this period. The sale of alcohol remains prohibited. Schools will remain closed until the 26th of July. It remains mandatory, in other words, compulsory, to wear a mask that covers your nose and mouth whenever you are in public. We are, however, making the following adjustments to alert level 4 regulations. First, restaurants and eateries will be able to operate while observing strict health protocols. Such establishments may not accommodate more than 50 people at a time, or for smaller venues, more than 50% of their normal capacity. Certain other venues, such as gyms and fitness centers, may also open, and activities such as agricultural livestock and game auctions will be allowed, subject to the conditions outlined in regulations. Since the onset of the pandemic, our national response has been guided by the latest available evidence and advice of experts. And this is what we know. We know that reducing the instances where people are in close proximity to others helps to contain infections. We know that the coronavirus spreads at funerals, in office meetings, at parties, at family occasions, and restaurants and taverns. That is why at adjusted level 4, we have had to prohibit religious, social, and political gatherings. We also know that as more people move, the virus moves with them and spreads. Because of the relatively high numbers in Gauteng 2 weeks ago, we limited movement in and out of the province to slow the spread of the virus to other parts of the country. We know that curfews reduce movement and limit the late night social gatherings that increase the potential for transmission. We know that restrictions on alcohol sales reduce the number of admissions at hospitals and emergency rooms with alcohol-related trauma, such as motor vehicle accidents and interpersonal violence. Reducing alcohol harm frees up much-needed capacity in our health facilities to deal with COVID-19 cases. Alcohol abuse is also associated with gatherings and non-adherence to public health regulations. At the same time, we know and recognize the vital contribution of the alcohol industry to our economy. Ultimately, the most important measures to limit transmissions are those that are within our individual control. Because the Delta variant is more transmissible, we need to be far more diligent in following the basic precautions with which we are all familiar with. As we implement measures to limit the number of infections, we are acting to protect as many people as possible through vaccination. Our national vaccination program is expanding at a reasonably rapid pace. To date, over 4.2 million people in our country have received a vaccine dose, with 1 million of these having been done over the past 7 weekdays. The pace of vaccination has more than doubled in the last month and will continue to increase pace. Presently, nearly 190,000 people are on average being vaccinated every weekday. Government and the private sector are working together in an unprecedented way to build additional capacity to vaccinate many more people on a single day. We are currently vaccinating both the 60 and 90 age groups. From this coming Thursday, the 15th of July, those over 35 years of age will be able to register on the electronic vaccination data system. On the 1st of August, we hope to commence with the vaccinations of the 35 plus. And this is when I will hope to see our vaccination program achieving the objective I've set out for the IMC and all those who are involved in the vaccination program, which is more than 300,000 a day. Programs are underway to vaccinate essential workers, starting with basic education, the police and defense, and those are carrying on. The Department of Health is also working with the private sector to implement workplace vaccination programs that can expand our capacity beyond public sites. We are working to ensure that vaccination sites are located closer to where people live to make it easier for them. We will continue to work with community, religious, and traditional leaders to mobilize communities to get vaccinated. Plans are in place in all provinces to expand many sites to vaccinate either 6 or 7 days of the week. And this will be achieved by the provision of funds for overtime and recruitment of additional medical staff and health science students, which is now underway. All those who qualify for vaccination are encouraged to pre-register to speed up the process at vaccination sites. However, all sites do also allow unregistered people to walk in and to be registered. Now, I'd like to encourage all South Africans who are eligible to register to do so and to get their vaccine. Ubalulekile ukuthi sonke iningi lethu lizinike isikhathi ukuthi siyojova. Go botlhokwa haholo gore re iphe nako gore re ilo tlhabiwa ka vaccine ena. We need to spread the message that vaccines do work and that they are effective. Bana bangwane ba hleketa gore swilo leswi swa ti-vaccine a swi tirhi. Ni lava ku ta tivisa vanhu ku ri swa tirha leswi swa ti-vaccine. A hi tinyikeni nkarhi ku ri hi ya hi ya tlhaviwa ku ri vitomi bya hina byi humela emahlweni. One of the major challenges we've faced so far in expanding our vaccination program is the availability of vaccine doses. This has been a challenge both for our own country and the rest of the African continent. In the last few days, the African Union, through our office as the AU COVID-19 champion, and the European Union have reached a historic agreement that will significantly improve the supply of vaccines to our country and our sister countries on the African continent. Through this agreement, Aspen, which is based here in Gqeberha, will be delivering over 17 million Johnson & Johnson vaccine doses to South Africa and other African countries over the next 3 months, commencing in July. Now, Johnson & Johnson, as we know, requires only a single dose, which is quite appropriate for many parts of our country and indeed our continent, because with the distances that people have to travel, it is best that they travel once and just get the one jab. Now, this number will double monthly from October. Initial stock running into millions of doses will be released in both South Africa and other African countries from July. As part of the effort to strengthen health security on the continent, there is a commitment by Johnson & Johnson to adopt the current arrangement, so that we can produce the vaccine in South Africa under license, rather than under contract. This will result in our country and the continent having control over the vaccines that will be made available. We are negotiating that in time, the drug substance which is like the concentrate that makes the vaccines, itself should be produced here in South Africa so that we have a fully owned African vaccine manufactured on African soil in a number of countries on our continent. We welcome the announcement by President Joe Biden that the United States is donating 15 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine to African countries through the COVAX facility. These developments, together with our current agreements with manufacturers, means that South Africa should have a pipeline of vaccine supply sufficient to meet our vaccination target. Now, this is a result of the work that has been done by a number of people to get to a point where vaccine availability for us is no longer a challenge. At the same time, we are working to expand the range of vaccines being used in the country. We welcome the decision by SAHPRA to approve the CoronaVac vaccine from China for use in South Africa. The Vaccine Advisory Committee is working on how soon we can bring CoronaVac into the vaccination program. We are also looking at a whole number of vaccines, and the one positive news we received was that Cuba has also been able to finalize their own vaccine. We've had to make difficult decisions, knowing that almost every decision carries a cost to the economy and to society. Despite the economic impact of these restrictions, we need to appreciate that it is the pandemic itself that poses the greatest threat to economic recovery. A prolonged period of uncontrolled infections would cause far greater economic damage than the restrictions put in place, disrupting production and deterring people from venturing out to entertainment venues and public places. We recognize, however, that these restrictions have had consequences for individuals, for households, and for businesses that were already under pressure before the pandemic. We remain committed to do all that we can to mitigate the impact of lockdown on people's livelihoods. Following the move to Alert Level 4, the Unemployment Insurance Fund embarked on negotiations with social partners, they being labor, business, community-based organizations, and of course government, to address the difficulties that employees or workers who lost income under these restrictions. On the basis of these discussions, the UIF decided that the COVID-19 TERF scheme should be extended to sectors that are affected by adjusted level 4 restrictions. The details of the extension will be published shortly following the finalization of the full scheme, which will include further details on who is eligible for this support. Since its inception last year, COVID-19 TERS scheme has already provided more than 60 billion rand to protect the jobs of 5.5 million workers in our country. In addition, Cabinet has decided that all business licenses and permits that expired between March 2020 and June 2021 will remain valid until 31st December 2022. And this is to help those business people or businesses to be able to continue with their businesses despite these difficult times. New business licenses or permits that are issued from the 1st of July will also be valid until the 31st December 2022. And no business license fee will be payable. This will provide some relief to small businesses. My fellow South Africans, there is another matter of great national importance that I wish to address tonight. In the past few days, we have seen sporadic but increasingly violent protests in some parts of the country. Key infrastructure like national roads have been affected and blocked, slowing down the transportation of goods and services that keep our economy running. Property has been destroyed, cars have been stoned, people have been intimidated and threatened, and some have even been hurt. I even heard that some people may have died. These acts are endangering the lives of people and damaging our efforts to rebuild the economy. Our Constitution guarantees everyone's right to freely express themselves and to engage in peaceful protest. While there are those who may be hurt and angry at this moment, there can never be any justification whatsoever for anybody to embark on violent and disruptive actions that negatively affect the rights of others. It is a matter of concern to all South Africans that some of these acts of violence are based on ethnic mobilization. This must be condemned by all South Africans at all costs, as we are a nation committed to non-racialism and non-tribalism that is underpinned by the diversity and unity of all the people of South Africa, whatever their language, their culture, their religious beliefs, and race are. Our commitment to our democratic constitution is based on the fundamental principle that all people are equal before the law, and that all people have the right to equal protection before the law. The rule of law safeguards against the abuse of power. The rule of law protects the poor and the vulnerable in our country. Since the advent of democracy, institutions like the Constitutional Court have been at the forefront of improving the lives of South Africans. Let us be clear, as a nation, that we will not tolerate any acts of criminality. We will not tolerate any acts of vandalism. Those who are involved in acts of violence will be arrested and prosecuted. Those found guilty of breaking the lockdown regulations will receive the stipulated penalty. This will be done without any fear or favor. We will also condemn any attempts to create confusion by sharing false images and videos, often from events that took place many years ago. These videos are being propagated and sent around to confuse people and to scare people. I ask that you think carefully before sharing anything on social media or elsewhere that may not be accurate or verified. The vast majority of people in this country have shown that they want to live in peace and harmony. They want to work and earn a living. They want to see our country recover from this pandemic. We are confronting COVID-19 pandemic together, and we cannot therefore be distracted from our purpose by those who are resorting to vandalism and criminality. And I want to repeat, those who are involved in these acts of violence and vandalism will be followed up, will be arrested, and will be prosecuted. We are working to rebuild our economy so that more jobs can be created, so that more businesses can be supported, and so that we can put food on the table, send our children to school, and support our families. We are building up, not shutting down. We are building up and not destroying. We will remain focused on protecting health and saving lives. We will work as never before to ensure that everyone is vaccinated in our country. We will rebuild our economy and create jobs. We must forever remember that, as difficult it may be at times, we shall overcome. May God continue to bless our country and protect her people. Mudzimu adzure achishudupadza Afrika Tshipembe. I thank you.